Insights.
This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on reforms in agriculture sector and expectations from the upcoming budget. The participants are Sandeep Das, senior journalist, and Diksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Today, we will be discussing the expectations and achievements in the agriculture sector, upcoming Union Budget 2026-2027. And to talk more about it, I'm joined by Mr. Sandeep Das. He's a senior journalist who writes for agriculture and food security. Mr. Das, welcome to Akashvani. Mr. Das, before we deep dive into the expectations and achievements in the agriculture sector from the upcoming Union Budget 2026-2027, let's first listen to Prime Minister as he speaks about his vision and the achievements in the sector so far.
आने वाले वर्षों में मैं भारत की खेती में कई बड़े बदलाव होते देख रहा. भारत नेचुरल फार्मिंग का ग्लोबल हब बनने के रास्ते पर है. देश के युवा भी अब एग्रीकल्चर को एक मॉडर्न स्केलेबल अपॉर्चुनिटी के रूप में देख रहे हैं. इसे देश की रूरल इकोनॉमी को बहुत बड़ी ताकत मिलने जा रही है. देश के पूरे कृषि सेक्टर में बहुत बड़ा परिवर्तन हुआ है. हमारा एग्रीकल्चरल एक्सपोर्ट करीब करीब दो गुना हुआ है. खेती को आधुनिक बनाने के लिए सरकार ने किसानों को मदद देने का हर रास्ता खोला है.
We heard the Prime Minister, Mr. Das, and I would like to inform the listeners that agriculture is a key employment sector in India, which has employed over 40% of the population. So, just to start with, could you just break down this for us? What are the key schemes which have brought about a transformative reform in the sector?
Since 2014, the focus of the government is to ensure that the farmer's income is increased so that the person gets the remunerative price for the crop he produces. Essentially, it means that to make agriculture profitable, because so many people depend on this particular sector. One thing is make agriculture profitable. Second point is that it will also ensure food security for the country, because such a large country like us, if we are food dependent, it won't be helping us in the long-term goal. So having said so, government focus has been on procurement of commodities at minimum support price, essentially the pulses and rice and wheat mostly. However, last couple of years, we have been focusing more on oil seeds and pulses, which we import a quite significant amount. The idea is to encourage farmers to grow pulses and oilseed. This helps farmers in two points. Point is basically, one is getting a remunerative price, and it also helps in crop diversification and also our reduction in import dependence. One is the MSC part of it. Another is agriculture credit part. Government has been providing a very generous in terms of agriculture credit, both two kinds of credit. One is the agriculture credit under Kisan credit card, which have an interest subvention. And second part is the various infrastructure program related to food processing and all. That is also subsidized credit is provided to the farmers. And besides that, we have a PM Kisan program, which also provides 6,000 rupees to the farmers. Almost like 9 crore people get 6,000 rupees a year, direct cash transfer. Added to that is the huge fertilizer, highly subsidized fertilizer we supply to the farmers, so that the cost of production remains below the cost of what he gets from the market essentially. So these are the overall program. Government focus has been to create procurement, infrastructure, and also ensure that it get better market price for the commodity. Essentially, the focus, end of the day, the focus is to reduce or to ensure food security as well as ensure that India become a largely self-sufficient in all the agriculture commodities.
You spoke about the Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samman Nidhi, and you said that they get 6,000 rupees per year in three installments. So related to that, I would come on the credit and finance expansion that has been happening in the agriculture sector. And there's a push to increase the limit of Kisan credit cards from 3 lakh rupees to 5 lakh rupees and broaden its access to the women farmers as well. So how do you view this decision?
Most likely it will be implemented from the next financial year. This particular probably increasing 3 lakh to 5 lakh for the Kisan credit card holder. And I must tell you that Kisan credit card also include those farmers who do dairy and other allied activities. So get an interest about 7% the credit they get for the short-term loan. And if they return the money, they get interest subvention of almost 3%. So that means 4% loan the farmers get. And also the overall the agriculture flow to the agriculture roughly will be around this financial year, 25-26 will be 29 lakh crore. It's increasing every year. The flow to the agriculture sector, softer loan is increasing every year, which basically helps farmers in better market linkage, infrastructure development, marketing expenses and processing. The focus is also the processing so that the farmers get better price for the, instead of just producing the commodity, it should be processed so that they get better price for that. So overall, government focus has been on infrastructure development and farmers and providing financial support to the farmers through PM Kisan, 6,000 rupees. And almost since its launch in 2019, 4 lakh crore government has given to the direct cash transfer to a bank account. So that's also one of the, at least that help you in buying some agriculture inputs and all, 6,000 rupees, 2,000 each, 3 equal installment they get it. So that also helps farmers in buying some inputs. And the MSP support also helps farmers in, you know, getting immunity price for the commodity essentially. So overall, they ensure that farm income goes up, and which is helps the agriculture sector and broader Indian economy as a whole, and as well as ensure that we are less dependent on imports.
You spoke about the farm income, and here I would like to draw your attention to the Pradhan Mantri Annadata Ay Sanrakshan Abhiyan, that is PM Asha. Could you elaborate this? What is it all about, and are there any plans to expand it further?
This PM Asha scheme is essentially, now the focus is on India because of our rising economic development growth, and our edible oil consumption has gone up sharply. So, but we don't produce that much of oil seed to produce those oil. So our dependence on edible oil is about 56%. And for the pulses, it's about 18 to 20% our annual consumption we import from various countries. To reduce that thing, the PM Asha will ensure that all the farmers who produce oil seeds and pulses, the government guarantees, particularly Tur, Arhar and Urad, these varieties, government guarantees buyback at MSP. Entire commodity they will buy. Just to ensure that farmers grow this commodity, these pulses and oil seeds at the MSP. So it is not only helps the farmers to diversify from paddy rice system to the diversify with the other crop, it also, the import dependence on this crop, India planning to reduce drastically in the next 4 to 5 years. So PM Asha scheme is the main scheme for that.
In fact, you spoke about the crop diversification system and the program, and there is this crop diversification program, CDP, which aims to shift farmers from water-intensive crops like paddy to more sustainable and profitable alternatives such as pulses, oilseeds and coarse cereals. So, how is it helping in preserving, conserving the resources and improving the soil health?
I must tell you for the listener that when you grow pulses, it helps the soil in terms of nitrogen fixation. Because of what is happening, green revolution, we needed rice. When we started, we needed rice wheat production. But both the crop are very water-intensive crop. What is happening over the years, many states producing rice. India produces a huge surplus of rice. And we are the biggest exporter of rice in the world. Almost like we control 40% of the export, the world trade. But that also impacted our soil, depletion of the soil. So government has been making attempt with the collaboration of the state government to reduce, especially Punjab, Haryana, to reduce paddy cultivation and to shift to oilseed and pulses and maize. These are a very lucrative crop. So that attempt has been going on. It's a work in progress now. And this PM Asha scheme you spoke about is also helped that. Because when you have an assured procurement of MSP of this oilseed and pulses, the pharmacist obviously know that he doesn't need to, the price, he will get the MSP, whatever it is to produce. So that is attempt has been, there has been some progress in terms of expansion in mustard area. Mustard is the biggest domestic oilseed India produces. There is also expansion in the pulses area. The attempt is part of the crop diversification is ongoing, and the thrust is government giving on the crop diversification so that not only the we shift from water intensive crop, but we also help in reducing nitrogen fixation and reduce our import dependence on pulses, which is a very protein source for large mass of people here.
I would now like to talk to you about the Agri Fund for Startups and Rural Enterprises, that is AgriShaw, which is a 750 crore blended capital fund to boost innovation and entrepreneurship in the agriculture and rural ecosystem. So, could you explain this to us, what exactly it is and how is it furthering the goal of inclusive agriculture sector in the country?
Essentially, India has a huge startup system, essentially. We have a huge number of startups across sectors, and in agriculture, according to estimate, there are almost like 400 to 600 startups in agriculture sector itself, playing a lot of role in terms of, you know, helping marketing support, boosting food processing and all, and providing infrastructure support, and using technology to crop productivity increase. The AgriShare Fund is basically the startup fund, which is our bank, National Agriculture Bank and World Development, NABARD, funding. This has been just rolled out, and the idea is to help those startup to scale up and help farmers. Basically, this was specialized, and this fund is specialized for agri startup, which will really help in the long run, because there are a lot of startup which basically get this help and the financial support, and eventually help the farmers to increase productivity as well as remunerative price as well as infrastructure development for market linkage.
Digitization is expanding its legs in India, and I'm sure agriculture sector is not far away from it. So the Digital Public Infrastructure, DPI, what are the expectations for a digital crop survey in over 400 districts and creation of a centralized farmer registry to streamline benefit transfers? What are these things? Can you explain?
Farmers registry, essentially, it was launched about 2 years back. Essentially, it's an ongoing process, 1.5 years back. Ongoing process, and now almost like 7.5 crore farmers already have been registered. And farmers registry is essentially a document, like we call it Aadhaar of farmers, where it captures your land holding, the kind of crop you grow. Those kind of data is captured using digital signature and all basic. So that helps you. It's just not about creating a registry. And for the first time, they are planning to have a 10 crore registry by next financial end of FY27, 10 crore. It's not just about registry. It will help the banks when they disburse credit. So it will help M-Bank assessing credit worthiness of the farmers and all. It's a basically database of the farmers. And India will perhaps have the first database of farmers with farmers registry.
No other country has it
with such large scale.
Okay.
Obviously, India is a such a huge country. So once you have a registry, Aadhaar card is for the general citizen. But we don't have a registry of farmers. How many farmers are there? One is for the landholding farmers who hold lands. But India, the 30% is almost, 30-40% is also tenancy farming that people do. So attempt is on to how they can be part of this farmers registry for those people who cultivate land, but the land owner is somebody else actually. So that will be part of the PM. And second point is that there are two components of it. One is the farmers registry, other is the digital crop survey. Currently the crop, although it has started in last Kharif season and the Rabi season also, but it has to be extended beyond that to capture real-time data on crop production essentially. Currently what has happened, the Patiaris goes and it's manually recording of the crop, which is basically time-consuming and it get delayed basically. Now with the use of all this technology, digital technology, they can have an assessment of the crop field. So it will be extensively covered in next budget. It will be announced basically, you know, it will be expanded to more states and all. The extensive use of digital technology for agriculture essentially.
Since we are progressing towards the end of the discussion, I would like to talk to you about two very important things. One is the National Beekeeping and Honey Mission, NBHM, and the other one is National Bamboo Mission, because you spoke about the allied sectors as well. So I want you to explain what exactly NBHM is, and are there any plans to expand it further? And also the National Bamboo Mission, how is it serving the goal of development of complete value chain of the bamboo sector?
See, the both bamboo and honey, these are one of the critical part of the allied sector, and bees also help in our maintaining our biodiversity. Essentially, bees, honey product has a huge global demand as well as a domestic demand, because everyone is looking for a quality honey, and it really boosts farmers' income essentially, and it ensure crop diversity, it ensure that there is no monocropping happening because of the bees own come if there is a monocropping. So beekeeping is a really, really lucrative profession. It's developing into a, you know, it's not just one kind of, there are various kind of honey. So beekeeping promotion is really, really helping farmers additional income, as well as, I know, the product, when particularly the farmers producer organization who are into beekeeping, has been able to manage the market they produce of beekeeping and also export honey to other countries. And the bamboo also same. Bamboo has a various relative, although it's agriculture product, but its use is very commercial across sectors essentially. So these two are basically focus area of the government essentially, so that the income from the allied sector goes up, like dairy, poultry and fisheries sector. This is also one of the major allied sector called honey and bamboo. So allied sector, you must know that statistics that allied sector growth is faster than any of the crop cereal sector essentially. So, and this is very critical for the farmer income and also for the economy as a whole. And sustainability also, use of bamboos, the sustainable products are emerged. So that's what the focus government has been on these two.
Well, since the time is running up, we'll have to wind up the discussion here. But thank you so much, Mr. Das, for sparing your valuable time and giving us such deep insights on the expectations and the achievements from the agriculture sector. And let's see what comes up in the budget on 1st of February. Thank you for joining us for Insights tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on reforms in agriculture sector and expectations from the upcoming budget. The participants were Sandeep Das, senior journalist, and Diksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Insights.